planning trip while the flow master.
Some neighbors were saying way too loud.
That's only in the morning. You supposed to be up cooking breakfast to somebody. That's like an alarm clock.
Welcome in, everybody, to a brand new episode of the world famous Loose Lug Nuts podcast. I'm Evan Roberts, joined alongside, as always, Thomas Dick and our good friend Tyler Pig. How are you guys doing? Don't be too excited.
I wanted Thomas to go first.
I'm gonna have to move that close. So I'm gonna cut, and it takes me five hours to shorten the podcast by a minute for all our listeners. Doing all right, you know, just ready for the 600 if I can stay awake.
You know what's crazy?
Strikes and gutters, as Thomas always says.
It's going to be crazy. Kyle Larson's going to be racing 1,100 miles.
Whoa, you know who else is going to race a lot of miles?
Who's that?
Dean Thompson. He's in the ARCA, and he's in the truck, and he's in the Xfinity.
There you go. Then they still don't equal up to a full 600.
You got to keep talking, otherwise there's big empty spaces.
All right, well, let's get into our week that was the All-Star races at North Wilkesboro. The All-Star heat races were called off. There was a lot of rain, some flooding. They did get 4 inches of rain in 2 hours. Very sad. So the field was set by points in the All-Star Open as Gibbs and Bowman started out front, and then Gibbs leaves Bowman in his wake on the start. 10 laps in, it's Gibbs followed by Bubba Wallace and Austin Cindric. 2 laps later, Timmy Hill's day is done.
He was my long shot, like really long shot.
Timmy Hill should have just been glad he had a spot in the open.
The Intimidator. We had a yellow midway at the midway point after lap 50. Gibbs, Wallace, Cindric, Bowman, and Briscoe are in the top five. It's a mixed bag of who's put on the softs and who didn't, but it's Gibbs in front of Bowman. We see Corey LaJoy and John Hunter Nemechek. They get caught speeding. We restart with 43 to go. This is lap 58. Cinder gets doored and turned by Hosovar, brings out the yellow, and he's not a happy camper.
Yeah, very sad. Cindric was looking good, too. I kept saying, oh, he's running up front, and then I had to remember the 17 best cars weren't in the race.
Then we restart again. Gibbs is front at Bowman. Bowman's loose, though, and holding things up while Gibbs gets away. 29 to go. Josh Berry is menacing Bowman and Wallace. He wants to get into second to get through to the All-Star race. Goes 2-for-1 with 27 to go, but only gets by Bowman. 3 laps later, Justin Haley enters the fray. He's in fourth. So at this point, it's Gibbs, Wallace, Berry, and Haley. The soft tires never really petered off like they were supposed to. So Ty Gibbs wins the Open. Bubba Wallace has finished second and also earns a spot in the All-Star race. Josh Berry finishes 3 car lengths back. Very sad for Berry.
Yeah, second straight year, we got Ty Gibbs winning his way in. And then an upset. I thought Carson Hosovar or Hell Yes Justin Haley were going to win, but no, it's Noah Gregson. All his fans came in and got him that last spot. So
Stuart Haas got all that influx from those guys trying to bid on their charters to get Noah Gregson in. Can Ty Gibbs guys count this as like now like a full win in the Cup Series since he has 2 open wins? Does that count? Can we like make it a half a win apiece?
No.
He's got to win the Clash.
I think we can.
Okay, he's going to win the Clash. Yeah, there you go.
We can give him 2 Xfinity wins.
In the All-Star race, Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski are on the front row. Christopher Bell won the Pit Crew Challenge, so that gets his crew $100,000 in first choice of the pit box. Thomas argues that that's how the pit box should be decided every time.
Yeah, it's a lot better than that other way they do it.
Oh, qualifying?
Yeah.
As we get started
into another week.
Huh?
Are we going to carry this into another week?
I'm just saying. I do kind of like the pit crew challenge.
Yeah. Why can't they do it every week?
What if you did it for the championship race?
There you go. And whoever wins the championship.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. We can have a pit crew championship. I like it if it like actually matters in like an elimination race in the playoffs. Or we saw Bubba Wallace and Christopher Bell's crews pretty much eliminate themselves last year in pit road in the races, but I don't know. It's a thought.
Or a pit crew bracket.
Ooh. Like an in-season tournament for the pit crew.
Yeah.
Streamed on the CW.
Well, just the Peacock app.
Sorry, just the Peacock app.
Joey Logano dominates the start. Lap two, Kyle Busch and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Get into it. This is where all the excitement starts to boil up. Stenhouse parks his car in Busch's pit box. And then we see a lot of drivers come into pit and take the softies off.
Yeah, so this wreck, at first the announcers are all just saying that Ricky ran him up into the wall, but then they show the replay. He didn't run him up into the wall. Kyle went into the wall himself.
Yeah.
And then after the race, he does this a lot. He's like, I don't know if there was contact made or not. Like, if you didn't know there was contact made, why'd you wreck him?
Yeah, what I didn't get is two things. One is why Kyle, well, one, how they got on that line in general that early in the race. Two is like, what set Kyle Busch off to wreck the one car who, to be honest with you, Ricky Stenhouse had as much chance to win that race as I did. And what calls out? Like, just to, I mean, what are we doing? Like, I know Kyle Busch said, like, afterwards, he's like, hey, you suck, I suck too. Like, let's just all be mad at each other. But I don't know. But I tell you what, it has set off a firestorm of people just ready to wreck the 8 car and how much they don't like racing against Kyle Busch. And that's just another example of it.
Very sad. So we restart on lap 11. Logano, Reddick, Kozlowski, Buescher, Blaney. So four Fords and a Toyota are the only ones not to pit and put the hard-ons. Put the hard tires on. So Logano is out front again with Reddick and the two RFKs chasing. The back gate doesn't open up at North Wilkesboro, so Stenhouse has to sit there and wait to box Busch's ears in. He's just stewing. He's got 198 laps to stew.
198 laps of thinking and stewing, Tommy.
That's a lot of stew. Lap 28, Buescher in the second row, or he's in second, excuse me, behind Logano. Lap 34, the soft tires don't seem to be slipping as much as advertised, with the exception of Reddick. Was this all a scam?
Yes.
I knew you guys were going to say it was a scam. I actually kind of liked it.
But it didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be really fast and then drop off. Like, they were supposed to pew, and then...
Do we think a new surface had anything to do with that at North Wilkesboro? That's my only defense of it. I just like the intrigue of, like, making us just try something different in a race that doesn't count. But
nothing happened.
But nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
I know. Well, but nothing happened.
They
in the
said
race.
It's because, some people said it's because of the track cooled down at night, which makes sense. But then
yeah, that was what I was going to say. It was a new surface and it got cooler as the night went on. But I thought there would be more drop off around like lap 25. And I mean, there really was no drop-off period. I don't know. It created some intrigue, but like, you gotta like give a reason to actually use the soft compounds if you're gonna do it. So I don't know, but I like the intrigue of it. I just don't know if the execution was perfect. But then, like I said, there wasn't a whole lot of execution in this race by Joey Logano, anyway.
Well, and then Dale Jr. Made a good point. He likes the fact that they're given options, but he doesn't want NASCAR telling you what, like, hey, you have to start on this.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, as much as we can bash on Formula One, like, that is the one good thing about Formula One. You get three options and you get to pick what you want to start on. And so you can go from soft to medium to hard. Like, let NASCAR do that. The other thing I thought too is, like, would it be better to see this at a road course where you got like 16 turns and it's 2 miles of a track? Like, if it at a Coda or a Roval or Watkins Glen, like, let's try this. I don't know. I just don't know if it makes as much of an impact on a small track like North Wilkesboro.
So lap 50, still no drop off on the soft tires with the Fords. Mike Joy claimed they got their heads together and decided to drop off when comes 75 laps in, which is not what was advertised. Like, and guess what? We get 75 laps in. Actually, we don't. William Byron, well, he has to pit under green. He's got a broken toe link. So we're not going to see the stupid big hat on the elevated winner's circle at North Wilkesboro. So that's a bonus.
Then the announcing team predicted a winter of doom at the end of the race for the soft tire car since they used up their softs.
We will see.
late in the lap, 80s, Wallace is given Logano fits, trying to pass, which allows Buescher to get right behind Joey Logano. Logano nurses the lead into the lap 100 mandatory pit stop. Again, soft tires never really fell off, so everybody's is putting reds on, except for Gibbs and Reddick. Joey Logano and Chris Buescher are out first. Christopher Bell in the first pit box doesn't have to turn right, so he's up two spots in the third.
That's very cool. They're not going to restart until lap 92 or until 92 laps to go. It doesn't make sense to me that the mandatory pit stop, there's less laps after it than before it. Like, if it's a mandatory pit stop, those laps, once again, should not count. There should be 100 laps to go. There's only...
So you're thinking like red flag the race.
Wow. Red flag the race. 92 was, so we're going to have a multi-lap battle between Logano and Bell when they restart with 92 to go. 87 to go. Bell and Logano are banging and get all loose, and that allows Hamlin to go three wide. But then Logano regroups, and it's him and Hamlin battling for the lead. Logano clears with 85 to go. So he's led all but like two laps.
Yeah, he's dominating two laps later. And Ty Gibbs, the winner of the Open, gets run over by Kyle Busch. Uh-oh.
That's the guy who says after the race that everyone runs him over.
So they restart with 77 to go. It's Logano out front of Denny Hamlin fairly easy. 60 to go. Blaney goes by Hamlin for second. So it's Logano, Blaney, Hamlin, Bell, and Buescher. We get a yellow with 50 to go. And a lot of cars that have softs left pit, but the first six didn't pit. We restart with 42 to go. So another wasted eight laps. And then stop me if you heard this before, but Logano's out pretty easily. He's ahead of Denny Hamlin. Ryan Blaney gets loose from second, and Buescher is working to get past him with Kyle Larson in fifth on fresh tires.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. The tires,
38 to go.
Tires aren't falling off. Thomas called off tires.
38 to go. Larson ends up getting by Buescher and Blaney for third. It looked like he would challenge, but he's having trouble getting by the old Denny Hamlin in the number 11 car. 24 to go. Larson starts fading. Barring a yellow flag, it'll likely come down to Logano and Hamlin. The last 10 laps, Hamlin's not able to get any closer than 6/10 of a second. Logano wins. Hamlin and Buescher, who passes Larson on the last lap.
Okay, so Logano wins the race. And then at the end of the race, the interview, he mentions that he ran 800 laps at the tire test in March.
You're saying there's a conspiracy.
Well, there's not a conspiracy. That's that's like practice. You're not allowed to practice anymore.
We're talking about practice.
And him, Ty Gibbs, and William Byron got 800 laps of practice.
Yeah, well, the other two guys didn't do anything.
At a track they've run at. One other time since Bill
1994, yeah.
I mean, it definitely helps him.
The race was 200 laps. He got.
I think it definitely helps him, but it's not like Ty Gibbs and William Byron.
They crashed. We don't know if they would have been good.
And yeah, but I'm saying it gives you an advantage, but it doesn't guarantee you anything.
So both people that practiced won a race.
First of all,
everything still has to go right.
If you're Joey Logano, why do you need 800 laps to test those tires, especially if they were going to fall off in 25 laps?
Well, they didn't.
But they didn't. So how did it? How many sets of soft compound tires did we go through to get to that point? I don't know about you guys, but like, have we ever talked about tires this much in a NASCAR season? Like, what are we 16 races in?
Yeah.
Between Bristol,
we've been talking about pit boxes.
We've been on pit boxes the last two weeks, but I
want to talk about getting four times as much practice as the actual race.
Eight times, or 800 laps more than anybody had on those tires entering the event. So I would say that's a little bit of an advantage. But tip your cap to Joey Logano, he may have a little momentum now, which is what the two car or the 22
because he hasn't got to practice 800 laps at Charlotte, so I'm not worried about it.
No. We don't need 800 laps of practice.
Holy poop, though. Holy poop. We got a holy poop moment. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is waiting by Kyle Busch's hauler, and no one from NASCAR. This is the all-star race. You would think their whole staff would be there. No one from NASCAR is like, hey. He said after the race, he said after he got knocked out, he was going to fight him. I wonder if he's going to fight him.
It had a little bit of a WCW, like late 90s Diamond Dallas Page kind of like waiting in the back row or the back of the arena to like take out like Ric Flair. Like it was kind of a weird, had a little pro wrestling flair to it. I'm not going to lie.
Somebody texted me the same thing and said, do you think this was staged so that they would get more views?
Like it even felt like a WWE camera shot, like following Kyle Busch from behind the behind his shoulder, Ricky Stenhouse propped up on the hauler. Like it just had a WrestleMania Takes Over North Wilkesboro kind of feel to it.
Yeah,
but
so this let's talk about the fight. Can we talk about the fight? Gray.
It would have been. Can we talk about the fight real fast?
Yeah,
we can.
How about Ricky Stenhouse Sr.? Like,
oh, yeah.
Just getting after it, old school style.
I will say, since Ricky Stenhouse Sr., I'm not a big, no offense to Luke Hillen, who's listening, I'm not a big fan of the numbers in junior, senior after names. So I don't know who Bobby Hillen Sr. is. So I always just call Bobby Hillen Bobby Hillen until I meet Bobby Hillen Sr. I don't know who Wade Taylor the third is, so I don't call him Wade Taylor the fourth until I meet Wade Taylor the third. I have now met Richard Stenhouse, so I will call Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. because I know who Ricky Stenhouse Sr. is.
And he's a badass.
And he's a badass.
That was not his first fight at a racetrack.
Yeah.
Likely won't be his last.
It likely won't be his last.
And then Kyle has some big Sasquatch old pit crew guys that are just throwing people off the hauler ramp and stuff.
How about the tire carrier getting up there and just like sounding like a crazy person from like deep in Deliverance? And it's just like, get out of here. Get out of here.
And like, I like that was how
the
how
best Bush part.
Kyle Busch going ass over apple cart over tires. In the way. And I think they were softs.
They probably were. The other best part, like I said earlier, like when they like this full like wrestling moment of like they get like the last interaction, Kyle Busch yelling at him, he goes, I don't care. We suck. You suck. Who cares? And they just all like disappeared and like, well, let's call a spade. The eight car has not been very good this year. So I appreciate him admitting that on national television.
And someone made a very good point. The line that made Ricky Stenhouse snap was so weird. Like it wasn't something Kyle Busch said that would make you want to fight him, but it had to be the look he gave when he did it that just made me snap.
But well, the best part
was not from Danica when Danica couldn't pick out a restaurant to go to eat.
So the best part too, and this wasn't in the news portion that we'll get to, but Richard Childress was all pissed off saying that you better not wreck my cars and doing all this. And then Ricky and Richard had a little conversation and said that it's over and he won't.
But did you hear the end of the conversation? He said, I don't really care what you do to Kyle. Just don't wreck my car.
All righty. So we didn't have Xfinity, but we did have truck race. The Wright Brand 250, Brendan McQueen, old Butterbean, he's fastest in practice, but qualifying rain, it gets rained out. So they're going to go to the tainted metric, and someone's going to get a really awesome pit box without really working for it.
How awesome would it have been if they set the starting lineup based off practice speeds?
This guy probably would have won the race. Although he did have a penalty in the race, so he would have
got spoiler back. Alert.
Okay, so anyhow, stage one, Ekus and Sanchez are going to start out front because of the metric. Ekus powers to the front. Sammy Smith, starting violation. Pass-through penalty. Someone said he was going to be really good in Xfinity. He sucks at that and trucks again.
Well, then lap 15, Ekus has the lead up to 3 seconds over Chastain and Tanner Gray. Lap 35, Grant Enfinger, who is a pre-race favorite on the struggle bus, he's dropped out of the top 10. He's moved from 9th to 15th. And then, oh no, lap 59, 12 to go in the first stage, yellow flag.
Blaming on the rain. And it was really short, though. Like, they threw it out, rain, a little bit.
They should get the soft tires.
He should. Well, a lot of those guys have ARCA brakes without rain. top seven trucks stay out. Short run to the end. It's going to be three laps. They restart. It's Thor Sport in front. Majeski gets ahead of Ben Rhodes. He wins a stage, his third of the season. He's followed by Rhodes, Carruth, Taylor Gray, Corey Heim in the top five. Ty Dillon, look at that. Take that, Matty D. Christian Eckes, Tanner Gray, Jack Wood, and Tyler Ankrum.
I'll take stage two since Evan's busy. Spencer Boyd takes a jack for a ride to start it off as they come in for the pits. Not sure that's going to be used again for the entire night. Sammy Smith back on the lead lap after that snafu on the start. And then another weather delay. Lightning hits and they red flag the race. After they wait around a little bit, they decide they're going to restart the race on Sunday morning. And they'll restart on lap 86 with Rajah Carruth out front of Tyler Ankrum.
Since it rained so hard, they were worried the trucks might have some like underneath damage in that. So they let them jerry-rig with the cars. So you're going to notice some cars like Grant Enfinger faster after the rain delay than before. So
tainted, some would say. Yeah, so Tyler Ankrum is the only pitter out front. Jake Garcia, Stuart Friesen, and Rajah Carruth pit. Hopefully they'll be able to get to the end. Last 155 or so laps. We do restart on lap 99. Majeski needs multiple laps to get by Corey Heim. Lap 117, we got a yellow brought to you by Lawless Allen.
He's got one of these. He's above the law. He has about one of these a week.
And then Brendan Queen, as Thomas mentioned, he was running in the top 10, ends up getting a speeding penalty down pit road. So we restart on lap 124 with Jack Wood and Tyler Ankrum out front with 17 to go in the stage. Ankrum gets a huge start with Jake Garcia chasing. Nick Sanchez gets a restart violation. Tough call for him running in the top 8. He'll go at least a lap down on the pass through, and the stage ends under caution. Brett Holmes around will help Sanchez get a lap back. Ankrum wins the stage, though, followed by Garcia, Friesen, Wood, Riggs in the top 5. Rhodes, Eckes, Heim, Dye, and Grant Enfinger are the ones that get stage points as well.
Yeah, we're going to restart on lap 147, 104 to go in the race. Jake Garcia strong on the inside, followed by Lane Riggs. It is the first time Jake Garcia has ever led a lap in the truck series. 75 to go. Heim is chasing down the leaders. Tyler Ankrum was holding him down, but once he got past, Heim was flying. He chases Riggs and gets into second. 74 to go. Connor Jones brings out the yellow. Field tighten up again. So they mentioned that Connor Jones is going to have a meeting with the NASCAR people after the race. I looked it up and I can never find out what that was about. And they didn't show a very good thing of the wreck, but there was a really good pit crew interaction reported on Twitter. So a pit crew member says, "Hey, you want to keep running or you want to park it?" And Connor Jones says, "I can't run it without power steering." And the pit crew guy goes, "You could be a man." Because I don't know if you know this. You can still race without power steering. It's just tough to do. Tough guys like Ricky Rudd could do it. But apparently Tyler Jones cannot.
You just got to be a man about it.
So, yeah. So that I wonder what Connor Jones had to say in the Monday breakdown of the race. We're going to restart with 65 to go. Heim muscles by Garcia. 50 to go. Heim's pulling away. He's got a 2.3-second lead over Garcia. But Brendan Queen is impressing. He is the fastest car, and he's up to fifth place. 39 to go. Dean Thompson brings out the yellow. And during the pit stop, Stuart Friesen has a backpack pulled out of the back of the truck. Not the back of the truck, but the behind the driver. There was a backpack in his truck.
What do you think was in it?
Snacks?
I don't know. I think it was some sort of weight balance cheating scheme.
Ooh.
Maybe he's
now gonna, we're really into conspiracies.
Maybe he's going to meet at the hauler and they're never going to tell us what happened. We restart with 32 to go. Garcia is no test for Heim. Meanwhile, Enfinger plows through Eckes, Queen, and Garcia in the third place. We got 15 laps to go. Enfinger running the fastest lap, but he's 3 seconds left back. Corey Heim wins the third race of the season, his eighth in the truck series.
And Heim is followed by Enfinger, Lane Riggs, Brendan Queen, and Sammy Smith in the top five. Eckes, Sanchez, Ankrum, Dye, and Stuart Friesen round out the top 10. Queen's fourth place finish in his first truck race. Riggs in third place matches his best finish, a third last year at Indy Raceway Park. Looking at the playoff picture, we're 5/8 of the way through the season. It's 10 of the 16 regular season races in the book. Four drivers are in on wins, says Heim. He leads the way with three wins, and Christian Eckes has two, Rajah Caruth and Nick Sanchez with a win as well. The other six include Ty Majeski, Taylor Gray, Tyler Ancom, Grant Enfinger, Ben Rhodes, and Tanner Gray. Rhodes up three spots the last 2 weeks, still not in a comfortable position.
Yeah, either is Grant Enfinger. He jumped up three spots to eighth. Matt Crafton, who finished 20th and didn't get any stage points, tumbled out of the top 10. He's two below the cutoff. Daniel Dye is 17 below. Stuart Friesen, 30 below. Enfinger, Rhodes, Tanner Gray, Matt Crafton, 8th through 11th, separated by 8 points.
Dang. That's 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's 8. So let's get into news. We waited to do, usually we start off the show with news, but
that's
let's
a midweek get into news.
Some big penalties for the brouhaha. So I'm going to go through them and then I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant. But Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was slapped with a $75,000 fine, the largest ever for a NASCAR driver.
I think that's in a fight. That's I don't know any other fines, but I think that's for a fight.
So this is the largest fine period by NASCAR since Tony Stewart all the way back in 2014.
Okay.
So it's 50,000 was the previous record. So I think it is the biggest fine no matter what.
Team member Keith Matthews has been suspended for 4 races. Clint Myrick suspended for 8 races. Richard Stenhouse, known to some as Ricky Stenhouse Sr., he's been indefinitely suspended. No penalty for Kyle Busch, who admitted to wrecking Ricky. Penalties have been given out for similar instances in the past. I don't mind the penalties, but it's going to be the same thing that we see with Ross Chastain's Hail Melon, is that you know NASCAR is going to show this on social media, on the broadcast. They're going to do all this shit with it. But you're going to fine them because it's wrong, but you're going to try to profit and get viewership and all that stuff on there.
That is true.
Like, what are we doing?
Some drivers have already pointed that out.
Yeah. Daniel Suarez, Carson Hocevar, there was a whole just group of them that were just chirping about the promotion of the fight. Here's like what I get a little confused by is I don't know if NASCAR decided not to fine Kyle Busch because it was an all-star race, and that's why they decided not to fine him or even suspend him, because that's happened with other drivers. But, like, we're going to level a fine to Ricky Stenhouse for punching a guy who wrecked him, but we're not going to punish anybody from the 8 car, especially the driver who ran him into the wall on purpose. It just is mixed message. And then on top of that, yeah, they're going to monetize the bejesus out of that video. They were running it on social media 15 minutes after the race was over with. It'll be all over the pre-race show in Charlotte on Sunday night. So it's a lose-lose for NASCAR in a lot of different ways, and just makes them, and doesn't make the driver. It's bad when the drivers and the PR teams and NASCAR teams are firing back at NASCAR, basically playing out how this is going to happen.
When I hate when people are like, well, the NASCAR higher-ups don't run the social media. Well, it's like they should have some sort of say in what goes up. And if they want to hire me to run the social media, I'll do that for them. And then my other thing was, this was preventable. Like 198 laps, you could have had someone take Ricky Stenhouse. They should have seen he was stewing, wearing weird-ass shorts.
Yeah, no one's covered the wardrobe.
He should have been waiting, like, with a T-shirt tucked into some jean shorts, like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
With the cigarettes folded up in his sleeve.
Yeah. Been like West Side Story all over again. What the last thing, Ricky Stenhouse Sr., if you want to come on this podcast and analyze all this, come on. Like, he may be the coolest member of the Stenhouse family, to be honest.
I think so, unless they had offspring we didn't know about. We didn't see Danica for a couple months. I don't know. SiriusXM signs exclusive podcast agreement with Dale Jr. and Dirty Mo Media. Dale Jr. Download will begin airing twice a week on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio starting in early, I think I said July. It's supposed to be early June. Additionally, the companies will collaborate on several special event broadcasts throughout the year, including the Daytona 500. I never had SiriusXM Radio contact us. I don't know. Does this make it like, is if this is exclusive, is it not going to be harder for me to listen to the Dale Jr. download?
No, they're just saying it will be available on SiriusXM. So, like, if you're listening to SiriusXM NASCAR radio, I'm sure.
Well, what's an exclusive podcast agreement? Wouldn't that mean
the exclusivity comes? The exclusivity is coming because they're selling the advertising for it. That's the reason why the deal got done.
So I could still pull it on Apple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just
more
making
of an
sure.
Advertising play. Yeah.
That had me worried.
NASCAR won Event of the Year at the 2024 Sports Business Awards for Chicago Street Race. They are recognized for putting on its first-of-a-kind two-day sports and entertainment event, which saw NASCAR take the streets for the first time in the sport's 75-year history. Cited for extraordinary levels of fan engagement, including 80% of ticket buyers attending a NASCAR event for the first time, and the alleged economic impact of nearly $109 million. Other news, the All-Star Race will be returning to North Wilkesboro. We talked about this last week. We kind of were hoping it would go back to Rockingham or do a little bit of a shake-up. But it will go back to North Wilkesboro in 2025. This will be the third straight year. There'll be a new pricing structure. Sunday grandstand tickets will start at $49 with a three-day package starting at $95. There will also be a five-day package including the IMAX Cars Tour
Z-Max.
Action.
I wrote it right. Z-Max.
Z-Max, yeah.
I thought it was IMAX. I saw a NASCAR movie in IMAX once.
That's so
bad. Is.
So, do tell.
So that's going to start at 125. Are we going to this? This seems like a fun week for 125 bucks.
What is there to do in North Wilkesboro? Can we find a nice little dive bar that serves Coors Banquet?
I think so.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You just rent an RV from RV World.
Well, you get it from Dallas, drive on over, and we'll hit the road.
So I'm going to leave it at, it was hard to judge this year because of the weather.
Yeah, and
yeah,
Joey Logano getting 800 laps.
Yeah, and
plus 198 more. I like it there. I actually like that they redid the surface again, and so I felt like it was a smoother race. The only thing is I kind of want to take like four cars out of the open just to create a little more – or correct, take one more car out of the open. So the top three go, and then the fan vote winner goes. I don't know. Just take a little bit more cars in there.
And I still like your idea, Thomas. Switch it up. We don't need – it's just another race.
Yeah, I rock.
It's not, there's nothing special about it. Amongst the drivers, like I think it's cool to have North Wilkesboro, but
well, and I think you should let. I know a lot of it has to do with sponsorship, but they got these Z-Max Cars Tour guys running. Hey, how about the winner of each one of those races gets to jump in a car prepared by NASCAR? Ray Amerhan's not doing anything. He could
get the group from DEI come back.
Somebody call Mike Skinner up and see if he wants to come race out of the DEI group.
Yeah. So NASCAR Championship Weekend, it was announced, moves to Phoenix Raceway. It'll return fifth straight year. Three
sound excited.
Three champions will be crowned from Halloween night to November 2nd. What are your thoughts?
You don't like it?
I mean, I guess it's all right. My preference, the best track to race at, but it's going to be too cold in October, November, is Kansas, but...
The thing with Phoenix is you know you're going to get it in, and that's probably the most important thing for NASCAR.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back to Homestead, Miami, you don't know if it's going to be – you get your, you know, rain shower every afternoon.
Yeah.
But at least with Phoenix, you feel pretty confident that you're going to be able to get all three races in, and I think that's more important than anything.
What would you guys think about if Atlanta ever got it as the championship race?
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd go – to like a drafting track.
I don't either. It's almost a miniature version of a drafting track. So I like it. It's kind of in a major media market. It's not as close to Alex Bowman's hometown, which I hear every time we race in Phoenix. I don't know. I'm with Tommy. I actually would either go Kansas or my really wild card, if you're thinking from the media exposure play, is go to Vegas again. You definitely get it in there. The racing would be fine. I actually prefer Homestead over Phoenix, but that's just me.
I think you could do Vegas and have them make a – they would do a good job of making it a big deal, I think. Like, you could do stuff on the Strip to promote it even more so than what you do in February.
Yeah, I think so, too. I just think it's – there has been some good races there lately, and it's not a super different track than Phoenix, but there's options that they're willing to explore.
And actually, if they end the season when they should, which is the end of September, Kansas would be a good place to have it.
Dover available, Tommy. Let's go back up there.
So two NASCAR stalwarts died in the last week. Very sad. Eddie George, legendary promoter, longtime Speedway Motorsports executive. And then Juanita Lightning Epton, the longest tenured employee of Daytona International Speedway, died at age 103. She worked the ticket window at the first Daytona 500 in 1959. I believe she worked all the way through 2022. So,
damn.
Oh, wow.
RIPs to the, both of them. NASCAR Hall of Fame class of 2025 announced. They'll be inducted in February. We got Ricky Rudd. Thoughts on Ricky Rudd?
I picked him to get in.
There you go.
Yeah, I like Ricky Rudd. I mean, rookie of the year. The wild part is that he won. You know, he won 23 races, but he had the consecutive start record for forever.
Yeah.
All the way to 2015 until Jeff Gordon broke it. So,
plus, he would be one of the most successful modern era owner drivers. His Rudd Performance Motorsports, he won six races driving for himself, including the 1997 Brickyard 400. So,
those consecutive starts was impressive. Kids these days won't realize that there are some times where you weren't able to qualify. Yeah. Or you had to qualify to get in.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing is he won a race in 16 straight seasons from 83 to 98. So, and that's not like was a slow part of NASCAR. That was when there's a lot of, you know, that's kind of was the beginning of the prime cream of the crop NASCAR days between Earnhardt Sr., Jeff Gordon. You had Davey Allison win a lot of races. Alan Kulwicki. I mean, I can go on and on. Neil Bonnett, Terry Labonte. I mean, Dale Jr., Dale Jarrett. I mean, it's just this whole, there's a lot of good guys who won championships in that era that he raced against and then won some races.
Most importantly, out of all that, he was in both Stroke Race and Days of Thunder.
Yep.
So you don't get more famous than that. And then we're all doing backflips over Carl Edwards getting in. 72 career wins across the three National Racing Series, including 28 Cup Series wins. He won the 2007 Xfinity title. He won 38 races on that level. Two-time Cup Series runner-up and the cruelest runner-up ever, 2011, when he lost the tiebreaker. Very sad. He's a champion in my book. He also won a couple big races with the Coca-Cola 600 and the Southern 500, both in 2015. Thoughts on Carl?
I like it.
Yeah, I think Carl Edwards kind of goes around like he is kind of forgotten now. Like that 7 year stretch he had was really good. And then, yeah, he lost the 2011 championship on the tiebreaker, which is like the most brutal one of all. But of the guys that have raced probably since like 1995, I would say him, Denny Hamlin, and Mark Martin are the three guys to never win a title that probably should have. But they all had really good careers. So I think he's a definite Hall of Famer, and you know I kind of miss seeing the backflip every once in a while. It's kind of fun seeing a cool celebration, you know.
And then the old guy to get in, Ralph Moody, he drove a tank under the command of General Patton in World War II. That should have got him in just that there. But then he was one half of Holman Moody Racing, which competed from 1957 to 73. They won series championships with David Pearson in 68, 69. Mario Andretti, he won the Daytona 500 driving for them in 1967. Other Hall of Famers to drive for Holman Moody Racing included Pearson, Joe Weatherly, Fred Lorenzen, Fireball Roberts, no relation?
No relation.
And Bobby Allison. And then the Landmark Award, this was a no-brainer. I was given to Dr. Dean Sicking. He is credited with creating the safer barrier.
All right, let's get into previewing. This week, we got a busy weekend, Memorial Day weekend. We'll start with the Cup Series for the Coca-Cola 600. All these races at Charlotte Motor Speedway. It'll be 400 laps around the 1.5 asphalt oval, which makes up the 600 miles. We get four stages of 100, 100, 100, 100. So bonus stage. Starts at 6 p.m. Eastern with coverage on Fox, the Performance Racing Network, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio starting at 5:30 p.m. It's sold out for the third consecutive year. We got two milestones in this race. Corey LaJoie will be racing in his 250th Cup Series race, Chase Elliott in his 300th. This is the 65th running of the Coca-Cola 600, and the track has hosted 125 Cup Series races, tied with Darlington for the fourth most in series history behind Daytona, Martinsville, and Richmond. We do have 10 active Charlotte winners. Jimmie Johnson leads the way with 8, the most recent in 2016. Martin Truex has 3. He won in 16, 17, and 19. Brad Keselowski has 2. And then Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Austin Dillon, and Joey Logano each have won here. 600 is a much different bird than the other.
Yeah, it's longer, I heard.
Yeah.
200 miles longer.
So 8 active winners. Jimmie Johnson with 4, Truex with 2, 7 different winners the last 7 years. Pretty exciting. Dillon, Busch, Truex in 17, 18, 19, then Keselowski in 2020, Larson in 21, Hamlin 22, and then Ryan Blaney in 2023. Blaney looks to become the 7th different driver to win back-to-back Coke 600s. Buddy Baker did it in 72, 73. Darrell Waltrip did it 2 times, 10 years apart in 78, 79, 88, 89. Neil Bonnet in 1982, 83, Dale Earnhardt, 92, 93, and then Jeff Gordon, 97, 98. Jimmie Johnson won it 3 times in a row from 03 to 05.
And then the Coke 600, if we're looking for first-time Cup Series winners, there's been 10 at the 600. Most recently, Austin Dillon, the bell cow of RCR Racing in 2017. Also, David Pearson, 61, Buddy Baker, 67, Charlie Glotzbeck, 68. Then a big gap until Jeff Gordon. I don't know if you guys know that name. 95, Bobby Labonte, 96, Matt Kenseth, 2000, Jamie McMurray, 2002, Casey Mears, 2007. And then briefly, during like a 3-year span, David Ruderman was my favorite driver. He won in 2009. I was so excited that night. I remember just pounding celebratory beers, trying to get furniture from Aaron's.
What a wild list that is, because it's like some of NASCAR's best are champions, like between David Pearson, Jeff Gordon, Bobby Labonte, Matt Kenseth, and then it's like Charlie Glotzbeck, Austin Dillon, Casey Mears, David Ruderman, Jamie McMurray. Like, is it like you won a cup title or you won like 2 races for your entire career?
It's the people who are able to stay, it's the people who can stay awake.
Who can keep it on the track the longest? Oh man, that's a heck of a list.
So who's the long shot?
I'm gonna go with Austin Dillon. Last 3 races here, he's got 2 top tens. He hasn't won in a while here. That was in the old car, but he's looked pretty good. That's a good long shot.
Okay. I like it. I was torn between 2. I'm going to go with Alex Bowman. Last 3 races here, he's finished all of them, led a couple laps, but he's got 2 top 10s and a top 5 that came last year in the spring 2023 race.
Evan made a face. I don't know what that face was.
Bowman being a long shot?
He wasn't even in the All-Star race last week.
I'm just saying.
So I am going with Ricky Stenhouse, and I'm going to call him Junior now because I know who his dad is. Last 6 races at Charlotte, his average finish of 9.8 ranks 4th. How about that?
Oh, so who you got winning?
I'm going Chase Elliott, and he's going to become the 7th driver to win his 300th start. He's going to join Rusty Wallace, the handsome Casey Kane, Kyle Buster Douglas Busch, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, and Brad Keselowski. The last 2 races here, he hasn't fared well. He's had a crash that resulted in a DVP, that's the damaged vehicle policy, and then just another straight crash. But the 4 races before that, he finished 4th, 2nd, 1st, and 2nd. So I'm going Chase Elliott, and then I'll meet everyone at Who Tears.
I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin.
Whoa.
Got the win in 2022, also had another top 10 finish. He's been up there battling, running well. Number 11, see in victory lane. And then we'll all go to Mavis Tires.
There we go. I'm going to pick his teammate, Martin Truex Jr. 32 races, never DNF'd here. So knock on wood, he's also got 3 wins in Charlotte and 8 top 5s.
As we look to the Xfinity Series, we got the BetMGM 300. So download your betting apps, BetMGM, Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's going to be 200 laps with the race starting at 1 p.m. with coverage on Fox, PRN, SiriusXM Radio. Stages of 45, 45, and 110. Triple duty for Dean Thompson, as Tommy mentioned at the beginning of the show. He's in the ARCA Menard Series, the Truck Series races. Both of those are on Friday before attempting to make his Xfinity debut Saturday with Sam Hunt Racing. We got four Bushwhackers, Chase Elliott in the 17 for Hendrick, Ty Gibbs in the JGR number 20, which originally had Eric Amarola listed as a driver. JGR says it was a team decision. Noah Gregson in the 30 for Rhett Jones Racing. Kyle Busch in the number 33 for RCR. Also have a trucker, Taylor Gray, running for Joe Gibbs Racing in the 19. Jade Buford running it for Mike Harmon Racing. And then Natalie Decker in the 92 for
DJ. Whoa, settle down. Okay, let's go back to this. JGR says it was a team decision.
I was waiting on it.
How does for weeks you said Eric Almirola is going to run for you. And then Ty just says, hey, granddad, can I drive? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to kick this guy out of the car.
Maybe Eric wants to hang out with his family for Memorial
Day. No, it said it was a team decision.
How do you know Eric wasn't like, hey, dude, I'm kind of retired. I don't really want to run.
Yeah, he may have been like, hey, wife's making some deviled eggs. I'm going to throw some ribs on. Like, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's a lot of laughs. This is Saturday. You could still get to the deviled eggs.
But you got to play golf. You got to play pool.
Yeah. He may.
Okay. Well, the whole thing is shady. I'm most excited about Jade Buford.
Not Natalie Decker.
He was a missing friend of the program.
What do you mean?
We had him on. You don't even remember. He was an interviewee.
I know.
But you forgot. So, anyhow,
we should get him back on.
78 Xfinity races here, 39 different winners. Last year, Allgaier won from the pole. He's looking to be the eighth driver to go back-to-back in Charlotte.
Kyle Busch has the Xfinity Charlotte records with 9 wins, 19 top fives, and 22 top tens in 26 races. Other two drivers in the field with wins are Ty Gibbs in 2021 and the aforementioned Justin Allgaier. Jeremy Clements has the most races here with 25, but only one top 10 and one lap led. Justin Allgaier, 27 races with a win, 6 top fives, 12 top tens. Who are you going with?
I'm going with the grandson, Ty Gibbs. Last three races here in Xfinity, first, second, fifth. I just hope they didn't keep Eric's seat in the car and they switched that.
Man, get it right. I'm going to go with Austin Hill. He leads the Xfinity and wins this year. So he had a great last couple weeks. Let's see if he gets it back on track.
I'm going to go with one of the Bushwhackers, but I'm going to go with Tommy's guy, Chase Elliott.
What, so no one picked Kyle Busch? Do we think he sucks that bad?
If it was a truck race, I'd pick him, but Xfinity, I'm not.
I'll gloss over the fact that after that one win, he said he was never going to race in Xfinity again.
Yeah, I thought he was done.
Things that make you go,
So NASCAR Truck Series going to be in the North Carolina Education Lottery 200, 134 laps, 201 miles, stages of 30, 30, 74. The race is Friday night on FS1, 8:30 p.m. PRN hates trucks, so it's going to be on MRN. So switch your channels up. Also on SiriusXM Radio, 38 drivers for 36 spots. Two are going to go home. Very sad. We got some notable entries. You guys remember Caden Honeycutt?
Yeah.
He's in the 45, which Ross Chastain drove the victory a couple weeks ago. Honeycutt's run 4 races in the Truck Series this year, 3 top 10s and a top 5. Brett Moffitt's going to be in Tricon, number 1 car, probably the best truck he's gotten to drive in a while. Connor Mozak in the number 7 for Spire Motorsports. Jeffrey Earnhardt in the 67 for MBM. And then Jennifer Jo Cobb. I don't know if I mentioned this. There's 38 drivers for 36 spots. 2 are going to go home. Very sad.
Triple Truck Challenge starts in Charlotte. A $50,000 bonus to a winner of any of the 3 races. Extra $150,000 for anyone who wins 2. Winner of all 3 gets half a milli. They've been doing it since 2019. Nobody's won all 3, but Sheldon Creed, the only driver to win 2. He did it in 2020. Ben Rhodes won last year's race. Matt Crafton is the only other driver in the field with the win. He's got 2 with wins in 2008, 2016. That's 8 years between each one. And by my math, hold on, let me carry the 124 minus 16 equals 8. It's his time. Who you got?
I'm going to keep Corey Heim. I don't know if you've watched the last few races. Like, he's fast.
Very fast.
I did 2nd year last year. So Corey Heim. No relation to Corey Haim, who was in Lost Boys with Corey Feldman, part of the two Coreys.
I'm going to go with the easy pick here.
Anyone, have you seen the movie, Tyler? I know Evan hasn't. Lost Boys?
Lost? Yeah. Yeah.
License to Drive?
I have not seen License to Drive. I have seen Lost Boys.
That. So anyhow.
Yeah, I've got some free time. Maybe I can do it.
There's also there's a lewd movie with Nicole Eggert in it that has those two in it too.
Oh, wow.
Nicole Eggert was one of the Baywatch girls.
I'm going to go with Ben Rhodes to win. He's the easy pick.
Oh, easy pick.
Three top tens last three races, two top fives, got the W last year. Like Jameis Winston, he's going to eat a W this weekend.
Wow. Didn't expect a Jameis drop there. I toyed with this one. We're going to go first time winner, and I think it's going to be Grant Enfinger at Charlotte. They've kind of kept ticking up a little bit. I actually really liked how Ty Majeski ran last week at North Wilkesboro, but I'm not sure that's going to translate. That's the best early stage stuff I've seen out of him in a while. So, but I'm going to go with old Grant Enfinger so we can get a win to get them back rolling.
Now, time for our favorite segment every week. It's paint schemes. Of note, this weekend's Goodyear will replace the Eagle sidewall design with Honor and Remember for Memorial Day weekend. I really like, I'll start with my two. Chase Elliott, he's got the black digital camo. So does Ty Gibbs, but I'm not a big fan of Ty Gibbs and Chase Elliott. And then Chris Buescher in the straight camo, like your normal forest camo Fastenal. Those are my two favorites.
So I'm going to go with, it's not a red, white, and blue, but it's a Memorial Day. Corey LaJoy in the Chili's Cacharita Chevy.
Oh, speaking of like Ritas and drinks, have you seen Outback Steakhouse's Crocktail? And they put, it's like a green mixed drink, and then they put a little plastic crocodile in it.
No.
You should go.
We'll have to round up good friend of the pod, Will Johnson, because he loves Outback, so maybe he can take us there.
And then I'm also going with the Bass Pro Shops number 19 for Martin Truex. It's got a bunch of soldiers' names written in the red stripes to honor Memorial Day stuff, you know, honor past fallen soldiers. And then also one other one that I really like, Noah Gregson, Bass Pro Shop, Winchester Ford, more red, white, and blue. So,
yeah, I got a couple red, white, and blues to shout out. Christopher Bell and Harrison Burton, the 20 and the 21 car, a lot of stars and stripes. Shout out to the Wood Bros. Maybe they can get win number 100 this weekend. And then the other one I had, Todd Gilliland in the Quincy Compressor Ford, got a little stars and stripe action, but it's kind of subtle. And then my last thing I was going to mention for Austin Dillon, if you race at Charlotte, go find the Dale Earnhardt gold and black paint scheme from like 1998 and race it at every night race. I know it's Memorial Day weekend, but it's one of the best paint schemes of all time. And Dale Earnhardt won it in Charlotte years ago. Run it again, bring it back. Maybe you can win another race at Charlotte. So that's all I got.
And then I had one other one I'm going to add. Zane Smith, 71. It's a combination camo, but then it looks like it might be an airplane. Now we're going to go, oh my gosh, there's more red, white, and blue. Not as much in the Xfinity. My favorite's the Justin Allgaier in the number 7. It's got, I don't know if that's a tank or an airplane.
It'd be an airplane.
An airplane, okay. Rare. And then I
I like see the little rivet marks.
And I also like the Patrick Emerling. So the 7 and the 07.
Yeah.
That red, white, and blue Liberty Brew LLC. I don't know. Is that an orca on the side? What is that?
I think it's a shark, like on the front of the, not an airplane plane guy. Yeah, but it
like
looks
a little like a P, what are they called? I think it's like a P-45.
Yeah, P-51.
P-51, yeah, a little small plane.
So those are the two I went with.
I really like Josh Williams in the number 11, Alloy Employer Services Chevrolet. It's blue, and then on the side, it's got some clouds, but it's got an eagle holding an American flag in its talons, and it's all spread out like he's flying fast.
Wow.
Man, just a couple. Always a shout-out to Sammy Smith and the Flying J car. How about Deegs, guys? A little camo, white and sand kind of camo look there, the 15 Airbox Ford. I think it's pretty sharp. And then I give a shout out to our guy, Dean Thompson. He's got a little red, white, and blue. It's got a black kind of base with the red, white, and blue stars and stripes on that one. So he's going to be racing about a quadrillion laps this week. Might as well give him another shout out.
And then
I do like, oh, I God. Do like, sorry, I do like that Ty Gibbs is in the He Gets Us All Black car for Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, he does.
How do they have so much money? They're running like Super Bowl commercials. They're behind. I was watching the Braves game the other day. They got a home plate sponsorship. They're sponsoring NASCAR.
They're sponsoring.
You know why?
But I did laugh because the thing said, umpires are people too. HeGetsUs.com.
Well, I hate to break it to them. They may be robots soon. They may have to change that ad up.
So a couple other I just want to mention. I think the best actual flag version is the 27 Jeb Burton.
Mm.
And then it's sad that we have stolen valor on Memorial Day weekend. Kyle Sieg, Night Owl? There's only one Night Owl. And that's Chase Elliott.
It's a pretty sweet paint scheme, though.
But what is
I that, also like the Matty D's. Matty D's American flag.
I don't like Matty D's.
Why? Because it looks like a crayon, like John Ellis.
It looks like my son painted the car.
And I wouldn't mind Parker Retzloff's if it didn't say Funk Away on this.
Yeah, that one's tough.
And didn't anyone mention Kyle Busch?
No.
I know we hate him now, do we? We hate him?
But I don't know if we ever really liked
Rebel
him.
The Rebel Bourbon car is one of the better non-red, white, and blue, number 33.
It's all right.
Yeah, Matty D store has stole the New England Revolution logo. I'm not.
Yeah.
Someone got their crayons out.
In trucks, I like Lane Riggs. He's in the number 38 Infinity Communications cards. Got the desert camo. And then on the sides, got like a black and gold flag. And then I also like friend of the program, Bailey Curry. And the Foundation for Pops. Got the camo on, forest camo on there as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Guys, I'll be honest with you. I like almost all the red, white, and blues. But I don't really love Bailey Curry's. Like, we got like camo on the front and the back and the side with some stars and stripes. Like, let's just pick one. Like, it's either all camo or all stars and stripes. And we're all Team America here. But like, let's just pick one design and send somebody.
No, he's
like,
got the stars and stripes so he doesn't get shot by a deer hunter.
Well, we couldn't see him if he was in all camouflage, so I appreciate that. But it's just like, but whatever. Hey, it's for the Foundation for Pops, which I don't know anything about.
Well, that's what I like. I like they had camouflage there, and then they're like, we're not going to be able to read Foundation
for Pops. So put some white here. Yeah,
we're just going to slap white. A whole bunch of white.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Foundation like for Pops aims to empower people experiencing homelessness and veterans through education, resource development, assistance, and supportive services.
Yeah, great cause. There we go. I'm just glad they put it there so I could see it, because if it was wrapped in camouflage, we couldn't see it.
So, you guys got any other ones?
No, that's it. I'm all American flagged out.
All right. Well, it's going to be a busy weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway. We'll be back next week to recap all three races and then get you ready for Worldwide Technology Raceway next week. We appreciate you guys for listening. For Tyler and Thomas, I am Evan. We will see ya.
I grew up in Texas where football was my game, until that racing fever started burning in my brain. I started running mini stocks when I was 13, and won a short track championship when I was just 16. I met a man named Harry Hyde, and he built a car for me, sponsored by Granddaddy Hillen's Drilling Company. We ran in 5 Grand Nationals when I was 17. My Talladega finish was the start of my big dream. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde, and I'm glad I had Granddaddy on my side. You've given me my win. Now it's up to me to fly. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. Now some may say that Lady Luck has given me the brakes. I must admit she smiled a bit, but it's me that runs the race. Now you can't be a champion due to luck or circumstance. I'll do the best I can for those who've given me the chance. Thank you for the ride.